Full Circle with Ruth Fisher on Jazz FM. Listening Colour.
This is not for boys. Watch out, I'm losing faith. I think I need to slow my pace. I gotta watch out with what I'm doing. Full speed towards my ruin, not complaining. It's just I'm saying, I can't remember his name. I'm feeling stressed out, I could use a drink. Just one shot to help me think. I better stop what I'm doing, cause I'm about to ruin the image and the style that I'm used to. I better watch out, too busy hiding from the pain. But I'm the only one to blame. I gotta watch out, I'm looking for a better way. There's got to be a better way. Watch out, I know we all make mistakes. It's hard to get through the haze. I gotta watch out, I'm looking for a better way. There's gotta be a better way. Sink. So easy to choose defeat. Watch out, I'm pushing my luck. All these years, still chasing a buck. Paranoia got me seeing things. The smoke has gotten to my brain. I'm feeling pressure, but I feel no pain. Am I numb or going insane? I better stop what I'm doing, cause I'm about to ruin the image and the style that I'm used to. I better watch out, too busy out from the pain. But I'm the only one to blame. I gotta watch. I'm looking for a better way. There's got to be a better way. Watch out, I know we all make mistakes. It's hard to get through the haze. I gotta watch out, I'm looking for a better way. There's gotta be 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 a better way. Gotta be a better way.
Was Watch Out from the excellent new album Nightingales from China Moses. Welcome back to the second hour of Full Circle, and I'm delighted to welcome China to the Jazz FM studios. So China, tell us what brings you to London this week.
What brings me to London? Well, you.
Me.
Yes, you, Ruth.
You're the second person who said that I've interviewed. I'm honoured.
I have a gig coming up at the Jazz Cafe on the 24th of May, and I just released my sixth album called Nightingales.
Right.
So it's going to be my first time playing at the Jazz Cafe. I've always wanted to play there. I've played at Ronnie Scott's a couple of times, and that's home. Those are the guys who kind of brought me in, you know, to the London jazz scene. But I've seen so many amazing gigs at the Jazz Cafe of, like, soul, jazz, fusion and stuff, and I really think that I can have fun there. Not that I can't have fun at Ronnie's. I have way too much fun at Ronnie's, actually.
But it's a different vibe.
It's a different vibe.
Right.
And so since this album is original compositions of mine, and I'm kind of leaving the world of the jazz and blues standard, I figured why not try to venture out to a new space and meet new people. Also,
and interesting that you say that, because listening to your new album, it's really quite different from your previous albums, Crazy
Yes.
Blues or this one's for Dinah. And what comes across to me is that this album is uniquely you. It's your voice. It's got soul, funk, jazz, blues. It's like it's the full China Moses package.
Yeah.
Or am I being a bit
you.
Presumptuous?
No, but
that?
Thank you, because it's taken me. I didn't realize that I was looking for my sound. I didn't realize that my whole life I've actually been searching for a sound that that corresponds to my personality. And I did three pop R&B albums. I did the two jazz albums with a French pianist named Raphael Lemonnier. And funnily enough, I had to go into jazz, do these standards, travel the world with these stories of these women to finally find my voice. And it's been a really interesting journey. All I knew that I've always wanted a sound that's based in jazz, but I'm not just that. And I'm a frustrated rapper. I rap really, really bad, but I wish I could. When I was a teenager, I wanted to be the next Queen Latifah, you know. And I have no discipline to learn an instrument, so I'm kind of lazy on that side. But I do have a vision. Like, I can go into somebody's session and start bossing everybody around. So I didn't know how to put that to work. And I didn't know how to put it to use until Anthony Marshall, the producer of the album and the co-author and co-composer of the album, he came over to my house, and this was initially going to be another covers album. It was going to be a tribute to Men. And it was, Anthony Marshall suggested that I write some new songs because I hadn't written in a long time. And I just couldn't stop writing. I couldn't stop composing. I had these ideas and I didn't know it was there. And then he comes from a pop world, so he's used to, you know, recording with session musicians and tracking, you know, doing piece by piece. And I'm coming from the jazz world where we put everybody in one room and say, one, two, three, go.
Right.
So we kind of made this mashup. So we put everybody into the same room. We let them jam the songs out. They didn't know the music they were going to play that morning. So they would jam the songs out. And once we figured out, you know, oh, yeah, that's a good part. That's a good way to play the drums. That's a good, you know, then we go, okay, let's record it. And we do three takes. And that's it. Move on to the next song.
Yeah, I heard that you did it in 5 days.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's really, it's I think I work well in that sense. Like, it's got to stay fresh. I wanted something. When I listen back to my older albums, I'm not saying that they're crap, but it's the sound of somebody who's searching, you know, for something. And there's probably maybe one or two good songs per album, which is great. That's actually pretty good that I can listen to still now and not cringe or be embarrassed. I told Anthony that I wanted a timeless sound. I didn't want anything programmed, and it's not that I'm against that. I love it. But my music, if I have to try to find this sound that I've been searching for, this sound that I haven't heard yet from a singer, except maybe, it's kind of like if I wanted, I wanted to be a mixture in between Roberta Flack and her first album and Millie Jackson with a little bit of Nancy Wilson and Natalie Cole. Like, that's what I was like. I was like, I think that's where somewhere I'm in that realm somewhere. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if I have to sing a standard, I can sing a jazz standard because my mom taught me well. Right. She taught me, you know, sing the melody, sing the story. But at the same time, my head needs to nod, you know, and I need to go, woo, you know, and I need to start jumping up on stage, and it needs to have a rawness and a ruggedness that, like, Millie Jackson's music had.
Yeah.
So I explained all this to Anthony once we finished writing the songs, because that was one part.
So you wrote them together?
Yeah, everything is written together.
Right.
I'm incapable of telling you who did what. You know, it was like a major, intense brainstorming. So I'd come up with the bass line, he'd come up with a sentence, I'd follow back. We bounce off of each other really, really well. Like, we're a really good writing team. I think I actually even think we could write for other people. And he's a great producer in the sense that once we made these skeletons, you know, just piano voice of the songs, because the songs had to be songs. That's all another thing of mine. And I was like, there's got to be a bridge.
Right.
There has to be a song structure.
Right.
I'm not interested in doing just riff music. Riff music is cool, but you got to take it to the bridge, as James Brown said. You know, take it to the bridge, you know. We all love a good bridge, you know.
Yes.
And there's so many things that I wanted to pay tribute to. Like, I told him I was like, oh my gosh, let's do a ballad that, you know, would be a ballad that Lena Horne or Nancy Wilson would sing, you know, with like an introduction. Like, I have all these ideas and places I want to go, and he is the perfect person that can reception all of those ideas and kind of like guide it and keep me from going really all over the place. And then once we got to the studio, we just looked at the musicians, Luke Smith, Neville Malcolm, and Jerome Jerry Brown. We looked at them every day with new, badly recorded piano voice versions of the songs. And be like, okay, so this is how the drums are going to sound. And this is, you know, and we'd work it out that way.
So organic.
So organic, yeah. And so fresh, because I wanted it fresh. And Anthony's never recorded, you know, he produces for Craig David and like Shola Ama, and he doesn't produce in that way. That's how I'm used to doing music.
Right.
So we kind of like did this mashup of our both of our worlds. You know, we went straight to tape. There weren't that many overdubbings, you know, for the musicians. Mm-hmm. We just kind of listened back to all the different takes. We're like, okay, that's the one. That's the one that has the funk on it. You know, that's the one, not number two, number three. Yeah. Number four was, you know, we were losing it. So it was really organic. And the musicians didn't know me. I didn't know them. We didn't know the pianist. Luke Smith came in replacing somebody. The whole album was kind of like a really special moment in time that went by really fast, but was really, really intense. And I think that's why the album turned out the way it turned out.
Right.
It's a weird mashup of all these different things.
Yeah.
And if we had tried to write it out on paper, it would have never worked.
No, absolutely. Well, let's hear a track from the album, and one which has a really infectious groove to it, Running.
Yes.
No matter what people say, create my own disaster. There's something new every day. My friends wonder. When I look back, everything I do is wrong. Critical repetition. Am I set in my own ways? To the point where I don't listen to what anybody has to say. Hey, I keep running. When I sweat.
Running.
You're listening to Full Circle with me, Ruth Fisher, and my very special guest tonight, China Moses. Now, we just heard Running, which has that great groove to it, but also in the middle, you seem to break out into an almost classical style.
Yeah.
Were you having a bit of fun there?
A complete moment of fun. I see music by images, so we felt like the bass line and the groove of Running is like a car chase. Like somebody's like, you know, getting, you know, you see, like an old school Starsky and Hutch car chase, like, ding, 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 ding. You know, you see the sunglasses and the bell bottoms, you know, somebody running down the street. And the classical part is like, okay, so somebody's running, they keep on running, and then they get to a cliff and they almost fall over, you know, and you see the pebbles fall into the cliff, and then you see like a bird's eye of this whole valley, and that there's the classical music that starts playing, and then they turn around and they run back, you know.
Right,
it's like,
right.
So we had this whole mini movie in our mind, and I actually don't know when that came up, because it was not planned. It wasn't when we were writing the song. I think it was when we were in the studio. Anthony was like, instead of doing a bridge, it's like, why don't we do a breakdown? But if we break it down, what do we break it down to? Why do we... keep running. It was just, you know,
it just
fun.
So works, though.
Yeah, yeah. But the whole album came along like that. And that's... this is like a testimony to when you don't think too hard about it and you kind of trust your instincts, that it actually can work. You know, we've gotten to a point where we try to... you know, everybody's trying to write hits or... even overthinking the music, you know, making 40,000 chord changes. And I really believe that the music that I make, the music that I want to make, that I want to represent, it needs to sound simple. But simple isn't always easy. It's actually kind of the hardest
less
thing.
Less is always more.
Yes, less is always more.
Yeah.
And it needs to sound warm, and it just needs to have everything that I like in what of all in all the records I've heard before me. You know, like the end of Running is like, that's our Quincy Jones moment, you know.
Yes.
You know? So we have our little classical, the Quincy Jones moment, the bass line's kind of little Curtis Mayfield.
Yeah.
I'm singing, you know, I'm just like in my whole, you know, Millie Jackson soul singer vibe, you know. It's every song is kind of like a tribute in many ways to many different people. And that, and the sum of all those people and all those artists that I've listened to since I was born,
right,
make me.
Your album is called Nightingtales, and I wondered if that was a play on the word nightingale, because it's a bird who has a very beautiful and powerful song, and I just wondered if there was a play on words there.
Completely.
Oh, it is good.
Completely.
I got it.
Yeah, yeah, no, completely. I wanted the title of the album to evoke the night and the fact that the songs are stories. I was doing a road trip with my mother from Los Angeles to New Orleans. My mom is Dee Dee Bridgewater. It's amazing to have such an amazing artist at arm's reach, you know, like,
right.
I can call her up whenever, but she's just my mom, you know. It's like, people need to understand, just my mom. So my mom being my biggest fan, she's like cheerleader number one.
Yeah.
And she's really good with wordplay. So I'm telling her, I'm like, I can't find the title of the album. And she's like, so what ideas? I'm like, well, 11 stories in the night stuff. And so we're driving through Texas, you know, on our way to New Orleans. And she's like, well, tales of the night, you know, Nightingale, Nightingales. She's like, and I'm like, but do I write it night space in space tales? She's like, no, of course not. I'm like, do you know how many people are going to have problems with the autocorrect? And then we went straight to the internet to see if there were any albums named Nightingales, and there are none.
None whatsoever.
Wow. None whatsoever. So I was just like, yeah, my mom's the coolest. And it was a great idea, and it fits so perfectly to the vibe of the album and to the person that I am. I've always been singing, and pretty much been singing. I was singing off key up until I was like 13, 14. I was not good, but I put all my heart and soul into every note that came out of my mouth. So I think that it actually represents me pretty well. And I'm a night person.
Interesting you say about that you didn't sing in tune, because I know that one of the singers that you have sung their versions of song is, is Janis Joplin, who is, well, was an amazing singer. She wasn't always in tune.
No.
But she had such a fire and a passion.
Yeah.
She was amazing. And are you a bit of a rock girl at heart as well?
Oh, I'm actually a rock girl first and foremost.
All right.
Well, when rapping, my rapper career didn't take off as I hoped. When I was 13, I turned on turned to a band called Living Color, and it was the same time as Fishbone, Bad Brains.
Right.
And I didn't know that that form of black rock existed. Then somebody played me some Bette Davis, of course, Janis. I just got turned on to this like hybrid rock, bluesy, funk, soul sound. And I'm like, oh my gosh, since I can't really completely sing in tune, maybe I can, this sounds good to me. Because it's all about the energy, and I've always been high energy.
Right.
So when I Move Over, I covered Move Over in my album Crazy Blues. And it's my favorite Janis Joplin song. Like, I think it's just like a badass song. Like, no, and it seems to be like one of her songs that are overlooked for some reason, but I think it's such a great upset girl, I'm so pissed off at you song. And I even had a rock band for a while. I had a metal soul band.
Did you?
Yeah. It was called Al Arash. Yeah. I recorded, but straight metal, like, you know.
Yeah,
jumping off the stage, pogoing. Yeah, I did all of that. I think my energy is rock and roll. My voice is soul, but on stage, I don't know how to tone it down.
Right.
I find it really, really hard, actually. I love singing ballads, but I find it really hard.
Because there's some gorgeous ballads on that album. So
thank you.
I
do calm down. And every singer loves a beautiful ballad, but I will get bored.
Right.
And I do need to change it up.
So one of the tracks on the album that I really like is Lobby Call.
Thank you.
One of the reasons I love it, it's got such a great string arrangement on it. Who did that?
Luigi Grasso, who is a saxophonist from Naples who moved to Paris. He was kind of like a child prodigy. There's videos of him like at 10 years old, you know, playing Coltrane, you know, on national Italian TV. I met him through my previous projects, and he is actually the first true musician, like true jazz cat, who spoke to me not like a singer. Like, he doesn't slow down in his explanations on how things are working or the keys or, you know, or talking to me in numbers and everything. And I'll look at him and he'll say, I know you don't know what I mean, but you'll understand later. So he's my brother.
Right.
And so he's my musical director on stage. And we needed these string arrangements, and he comes from the classical world, but he bailed, you know. He was destined to be a soloist, you know, in a big symphony orchestra. But after a while, you know, he wanted to break the rules. So we asked for the string arrangement, and he was like, so what type of vibe do you want? I was like, I want almost a Disney vibe, but not as sweet. And that's what he came up with. And I was when we do concerts with symphonic orchestras, because I do this repertoire with symphonies, which is amazing that symphonies are actually, we'll play your music. I'm like, really? We have a whole, like, I think the full intro is like about a good 3 minutes long.
Yeah.
Because it's a gorgeous setup.
Yeah, it really is.
That song is really pretty. Thank you. I'm glad you like that song.
The memories are so great, the excitement of another date,
Lobby Call from the brand new album from China Moses, who is my special guest tonight on Full Circle. So you're based in Paris.
Yes, I am.
Have you found it easier to be yourself musically in Paris rather than being in the US?
No, it's been harder.
Really?
Well, I grew up being the daughter of and a daughter of a very known artist in France. And my musical career wasn't really going anywhere, and I was doing TV. I did TV for a very long time in France, 13 years of MTV and the national. I was on national TV. So in France, they kind of have, like, if you're an actress, you can do music because it's chic. It's kind of cool and intellectual. If you're a TV presenter and you do music, your music has to be, it's like by definition, it has to be bad. Like, you can't be a good artist and be a fun TV presenter. It like doesn't go hand in hand. So it was really hard for me to defend these sounds and these images and these, you know, these colors that I had in my mind, it was really hard for me to find the right partners to translate what I have. I don't play an instrument enough to accompany myself. I play enough to compose, and then I just have melodies that run through my mind all the time. Finding the right partners has been very, very difficult for me in France. And my mom told me when I was 16 years old, when I put out my first record, she told me I needed to move to London. And I was like, no, you know, you don't want to do what your parents
never
did. Never. Like, why London? And funny enough, it's with this album done in London by English people.
Yeah.
You know, it's so funny. You know, she called me up and she was like, see, I was right. I was like,
moms are always right.
Yes. It took me that long to just accept that there's something in this country, something in this city that aligns with who I am. Being American, but having grown up in Europe, even though when I go back to the States, I'm home. But there's some things that I don't get musically, actually. And when I cross, you know, cross the channel and I come here to London, and, you know, I was staying at a friend's house, Josh Weller, who has a punk band, well, I guess we'll call it a punk band, called The Kenneths. So Josh Weller from The Kenneths, I sleep on his couch. We go and hang out with his friend, who's a classical singer. I end up at a Notorious B.I.G. tribute jam with the 16-piece band. You know, that does not happen in Paris. It doesn't even happen in New York, I don't think. I've had amazing jazz nights in New York, but only in London can you walk in to a hip-hop place with a friend who has almost a mohawk, you know, and somebody who's dressed like a proper dandy. You know, it's like, it's like nobody cares of what you look like. And it's, I find it quite beautiful here. And there's so much talent here that doesn't even recognize itself. So I'm an outsider coming in. I'm like, oh my gosh, what are these people? This mixture of music and everything. And
we have so many cultures, different cultures from the Caribbean, all over, you know.
It's quite amazing. And I'm not saying we don't have it in France, but being a musician is respected here. It's accepted. It is a job. It is an art form. You can make money, and everybody is gigging and trying to hustle, you know, in the music scene. In France, it's a little bit, it's not the same mentality. And people will kind of keep to their genre. So since I'm a genre hopper, I feel so much more at home in the UK.
Do you see yourself coming to live here in the UK at all?
I wish I could, but unfortunately, my husband's French and he has his business. If we get divorced, maybe. If we get divorced, I'm definitely moving to London. Yeah, London will be my next stop.
Okay, well, let's hope that doesn't quite happen.
Yeah, let's hope it doesn't happen. But if it happens...
London is the place.
No, but it's so close to Paris. So every time I want to get away, I just hop on the train and just hang out.
That's true. So you mentioned you're back here in the UK in May, and you've actually got two gigs because you're in Birmingham on May the 21st with Terry Lynn Carrington, who
is
just an awesome musician.
Isn't she so incredible?
Incredible.
Yeah, and it's Helen Sung on piano. Oh,
great pianist.
She's fantastic. Amazing. Josh Hari on bass. And I think it's Tanike Pasma, saxophonist. When I got the call from Terry Lynn, she asked me if I would join her on a gig in Istanbul with Aloe Black and Alita Adams.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a tribute to Frank Sinatra and Billie Holiday, like a tribute to their friendship. And I was like, are you kidding me? You know, you're Terry Lynn Carrington. Like, why are you calling me? But ever since that gig, And when she comes over to Europe, you know, she calls me and I learn by her side. She teaches me all this stuff. And she's also a great friend. She's my mom's friend, but she has now also become my friend. And I just find it wonderful to hang out with women musicians of her caliber, you know, and I know it's a boys club, and I know there's some guys who are probably going to be like, oh, they're going to complain when I'm to what I'm about to say. But musicians like her get overlooked because they're women. If Terry Lynn was a dude, you know, people would be like falling all over themselves. It's only people who just respect true musicianship that are like, yeah. Terry Lynn. Like, that is a badass drummer. Like, she, and she's a composer and an arranger, and she sings. It's like, so every time I'm play with her, I'm always like the hype man. Like, she's really shy. Like, I'm not shy, she's a little reserved. So I'm always like grabbing the mic and being like, do you understand that all these songs are her compositions and she arranged it? You know, she's such, she's a time wizard.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm really happy to do that gig with her. Yeah.
So that's in Birmingham on May the 21st, and then your own gig at the Jazz Cafe on May the 24th.
Exactly.
Very exciting. China, thank you so much for taking the time to come into Jazz FM to chat with me. And I'm going to ask you to choose a track now from the album to end the interview with.
Really?
Yes.
I get to choose?
You get to choose. Which one would you like?
I don't know. One of my favorite tracks, well, of course, I love all the tracks on the album. I'm really proud. No, I'm really, really, really proud of this album. Like, if I die now, I'm good. I'm happy. One of the tracks that I think is probably the most kick-ass, and you don't notice it at first, but once you really get into it, it's like the perfect vibe to me, is Put It On The Line.
Okay, here it is. Put It On The Line. Thank you, China.
Thank you.
Wait. Give me that kick drum. And that bass. What'd you say, Neville? Oh, really? Sounding good to me. Each and every note, but all the chords you're laying down are echoing. Have I heard this one before? You know some brothers talk like they do, but they don't. I'm tired of playing games. You're messing with my will when I told myself I won't. And mistakes rise with each sip of wine. A bit scared to take a chance, but that's fine. Gotta put it on the line. Put it on the line. What happens when the audience is gone? Do you play another song? Can't help but think about what's in it for me. Are you stringing me along? If you don't take a risk, you don't know what things can be. So I'm gonna take the leap. It's playing that safe will kill you eventually. And they say the heart heals in time. A bit scared to take a chance, but that's fine. Gotta put it on the line.
Fisher with Full Circle.